Scrolling for January 14th, 2020. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We're just still a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's still weird to say 2020.
2020. Well, you know, I'm finally back. I had all these guest hosts for so many weeks.
Yeah? Steve.
So, you know, I'm back.
It's good to see you, Chip.
I know. I did my best.
All of your guest hosts filled in so well.
They sound a lot like me.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You know, it's still winter. It's still time to put on a fire and sit down and watch some movies. That's what I did this week.
Especially when you have bad weather.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you have all those movies that you missed last year. It's a good time to catch up.
I made a list of all the movies that I missed in 2019. Would you like to guess the number of movies that are on my list of movies that I would like to see that I did not see in 2019?
Steve, would that be all of them?
42 movies I listed as, oh, I want to see that. And I haven't seen it. Would you like to guess how many movies I did see in 2019? Including the one that we're about to talk about?
I'm going to say you saw 20 movies.
23, including this movie. Yes, sir. The movie that I got to see this week, finally, is called Late Night. This is a pretty simple, straightforward, those late night hosts that we've enjoyed for all of our lives. Johnny Carson changed late night by being the guy. Everybody wanted to be on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
Sure.
Now we've got Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. Who is the host of the Tonight Show. He's doing a great job. I enjoy his comedy. I enjoy his banter. He kind of does the same shtick every night.
He's got a lot of laughter, Steve.
There's a lot of laughter, and he laughs a lot on that show.
And this, of course, stars Nanny McPhee.
Right. This movie...
When she arrives, and you don't want her around, she stays around, Steve.
This movie, Late Night, yes, features Emma Thompson as the late night host.
And when you want her around, Steve... That's her time to go.
That's right. This one was written by Mindy Kaling, who is the young person in this story. The basic story of Late Night is an older...
Did she come in from Scranton, Pennsylvania, Steve?
Yes. Okay. This is an older late night host who's been doing the same shtick for 30 years. She was at the top of her game 20 years ago, but maybe the last 10 years have been a real decline in what she's been able to do on that program.
They didn't want her around, Steve.
And the powers that be are looking at the numbers as they always do, and they are seeing this decline in viewership, and therefore they've decided to make a change and decided to get rid of the older established host and bring in somebody younger.
Which means she won't go away, Steve. That's what
Nanny McPhee.
How Nanny McPhee works, Steve.
Nanny McPhee decides that she won't go away in this movie. And she hires the character played by Mindy Kaling to be that young person, to spark this older generation with new blood, new ideas. This is very important. We talk about this in school all the time. When all of the teachers in our school have all been there for 20 or 30 years, our established ways of doing mm-hmm. things, we might not be doing the right and best things because maybe times have changed.
Well, we'll discuss that in our book section, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
This is foreshadowing, Steve.
Yeah.
Is this a movie about the younger generation speaking to the older generation?
This is definitely that voice of change, that voice of how can we do this best? Is the best thing to do what we've been doing for 30 years, or have times changed enough that we need to change our perspective and change the way we do things because there's a better answer now?
Well, Nanny McPhee teaches us lots of things, Steve.
One of the messages that I got out of this story, in my opinion, one of the themes of this story is a word that is made up. The Emma Thompson character says catharsis-ism. And she says that the current generation is obsessed with feeling good about their ideas, feeling better about everything, finding that catharsis to find the right answer and to change the world. But what they do with that is broadcast it. The Twitter and Instagram and Facebook generation.
It's kind of all about them.
Where it becomes all about them. Maybe they're changing the world.
Maybe like when Notre Dame's, you know, burning in Paris, mm-hmm. and everybody posts all their photos where they went to visit it.
Right. It's all about them. That narcissism is something that is called out in this movie. And catharsisism, that idea of I'm going to change the world because the world is in need of change, but I'm going to broadcast it to everyone and tell everyone how great I am while I'm doing it. That could be problematic, and that could be a sign of the times.
So what was the message that Nanning Fee left us with?
She changed, Chip. She became much more open to the ideas that were coming from her writer's room. This is where I had a small problem with this movie. The writer's room for this movie is that Generation X stand-in, where our generation, you and I, we are the forgotten generation in so many situations.
Steve, we're still angry. We're very angry. We're a hurt generation.
We are bitter. There is no doubt about it.
We're sad. We are ignored.
Uh-huh. And that's exactly what happens in this story. The writer's room in this story...
Isn't it all about us anyway?
...is a middle-aged male room, and Mindy Kaling, being the young, bubbly person that she is, comes in and says, you guys are not doing it right. You are not writing the funny jokes.
Isn't that what they always tell us, Steve?
Uh-huh. Now, technically, Mindy Kaling, she was born in 1979, so she is right on the cusp between that Generation X, our generation, and the younger people who came after us.
Well, you know, maybe we need to call Dunder Mifflin and have a little conversation.
Maybe that's what it is.
Sure.
This is a good movie. I like this movie. I like the messaging of it, because we could all stand to look in the mirror and go, what can we change? What sure. should we change? What are we doing right? And are we stuck in a rut? I don't know about your profession, but in my profession, getting stuck in a rut is very easy. Doing the same thing day in and day out.
That's the definition of what, insanity?
Except for the part where I'm not hoping for a different result. I'm just trying to get through my day sometimes, and doing that same lesson that I did 12 years ago might not be the best choice.
Steve, what if I was down in Waco and I needed to remodel a house? Who would I call?
The second movie that we watched last night, because the weather was awful, and
the weather outside was frightful.
It was. So my wife and I put on a fire and we sat and cuddled and watched a movie. It was called Instant Family. This is from 2018. It's the story of a couple played by Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne who find themselves in need of a change in their lives.
Did they lose lots of shiplap, Steve?
And they decide that they are in a place where they can help other kids and bring into their family some foster children. And
apprentices, Steve. Apprentices.
Okay, so what you're alluding to is what I told you before we started. This could have been the Chip and Joanna Gaines movie, essentially. The character played by Mark Wahlberg.
Steve, they're going to buy a $350,000 home, and uh-huh. their budget is $350,000. To remodel this.
And then they can sell it for $700,000.
Yes, yeah. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to adopt some children along the way.
Right. Yeah, this is the story of some house flippers that are very similar to the couple from the Fixer Upper on the HGTV channel. Mark Wahlberg plays Chip Gaines, essentially, in this. He is a goofy baseball cap and flannel shirt wearing dude who just loves life and enjoys the idea of demolishing parts of houses in order to invest in
those houses.
Well,
Steve,
they've got
30 minutes to do it. Yeah. And can they do it? It's incredible.
This is a really good movie about sharing your home, about what you can do to make the world a little bit better.
And Steve, there's a Chicago connection in this film, isn't there?
Well, okay, if you want to skip to the end instead of me telling you about how wonderful this movie was, yes, at the very, very end of this movie, for no reason that I can see, for some reason, there is a guest star appearance by Joan Cusack, who is just a neighbor who shows Steve, up at the end of this movie and watches the activity that's happening.
Well, don't all films take place in Chicago, Steve?
No, not all films.
Not all?
No, mostly.
Home Alone. I saw mostly. That. Mostly. That's there.
That was in high school.
The Breakfast Club was...
Yeah.
Was here in Chicago.
That was in Shermer, Illinois.
Shermer.
There ain't no Shermer in Illinois.
Well, maybe there's one near Waco, Texas.
Yes. Instant Family is a great conversation about the needs of our community. The idea of these kids who need a home and all of the issues that come with fostering.
So taking on children who obviously they've been through experiences,
mm-hmm.
and it takes time for them to kind of decompress from those experiences
and to trust people and to understand how the new people might really care for them. Every kind of foster family is seen in this movie, even the ones where the foster parents are just in it for the money from the state, and they're not really caring for the children in a way that the children need.
So this is actually a movie that was made to kind of put a spotlight on those foster parents.
Yeah.
And those foster children who basically both parties could be blessed.
Mm-hmm. And what we can do on our tiny little small level, maybe we're not in a position to take on foster children, but maybe we can help mm-hmm. with the support of those foster families in sure. our communities. There's so many things that we could do. This is a foundation. Instantfamily.org is highlighted at the end of this movie as okay. somewhere to go for more information about fostering and caring for the children in need in our community. This is a really touching movie. My wife is into all of the research that she's doing about her family and adoption and all of the different kinds of families that exist in her family tree. This really went to the heart of all of those situations. I recommend Instant Family from 2018. Opening this week, we've got some movies.
Steve, is there like something that's a follow-up maybe on 27, 28 years I've been waiting for?
If you've been waiting for Bad Boys 3, it's coming this week. It's called Bad Boys for Life. Yes, it is the sequel to the movie Bad Boys from 1995.
Excellent. So I was wondering what Martin Lawrence was doing, Steve.
Not much, as it turns out. Martin Lawrence has not been working very much in the industry, and he's come back for this sequel, along with Will Smith. And
Isn't Will Smith an animation character now, Steve?
I think he was originally an animated character come to life. Mm-hmm. Think about the colors that he's worn.
Steve, you grew up in Philadelphia.
Born and raised. You know that I'm a big fan of Will Smith. I don't really have any connection to the movie Bad Boys from 1995. I don't really look forward to this sequel.
Steve, there may be a paycheck involved.
Maybe. Maybe this will be a great film. I have very low expectations.
It's January, Steve.
It is January. There is a graveyard of movies that were a lot of money went into and a lot of work went into, and they go to January to die. That is true.
So Robert Downey Jr. obviously turned down the Oz film from many years ago that James Franco took on.
Yeah.
And so he must have turned it down for another film. Steve, is there a film that potentially he turned it down for?
I possibly. The movie Doolittle is coming out this week. This is the remake of the Dr. Doolittle.
Christopher Plummer?
Guy who talks to animals. I was thinking Eddie Murphy, actually. Remember when Eddie Murphy did this?
Right.
Yes. I think this is much more a remake of the Eddie Murphy movie than the Christopher Plummer movie.
Is this a study of accents, Steve?
This is. Robert Downey Jr. has decided to use his English accent, English/Scottish, maybe, accent. I don't think that this is the right choice. The trailer for this does not sell me on this movie.
Steve, the animals have accent too.
The animals are British too?
Well, they have accents. Yeah? I don't know if they're British.
Well, how do you know if it's a German shepherd? He barks with a German accent.
Deutsch.
Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland are reunited in this one, along with Emma Thompson again and Ralph Fiennes.
Well, when she's when you don't want her around, she's around, Steve.
That's right. I don't know that I'm going to watch this one. We'll see. Maybe the reviews will be fantastic for Doolittle. There are a couple of independent films. January is definitely a good time for independent films.
Steve, is there one that Nancy Reagan would have endorsed?
Yes. The first one's called The Wave. This stars Justin Long.
For those who do not know Justin Long, he was in Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
He helped land the ship, Steve.
Yes. The young man from 20 years ago who helped land the ship.
After
is
he
now...
took the garbage out. Because
yes. Priorities, man. You got to do the things you got to do before you can get on to the things that you want to do. The Wave is a story of a young man who is brought into a situation where he's given an intoxicant, a drug of some sort.
A drug.
Uh-huh.
That potentially is a wave, Steve.
And the stuff that he sees in his mind's eye after taking this drug is phenomenal.
It looks
at least
like
artistic.
It looks like he just keeps coming back.
Uh-huh.
In interesting situations. And as Nancy Reagan once said,
just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no to Justin Long movies. The other movie is also another independent film. This is called VHS, The Story of My Childhood.
This is about a person who is recording a movie
yes.
on a VHS.
Yes.
Yes. Tape.
Do you remember in the 80s having that first
that
video camera?
Big, massive camera?
Giant, massive videotape camera and trying to find how to use it and figure out what you're going to do with your filmmaking prowess. That was me in the 80s.
Well, that's why you had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. I've got a lot of footage. This young man in this movie, he is struggling to find the tape. The amount of tape that he has is limited compared to what he wants to record. He's discovered that he can record late night TV and watch it during the day later as a young man.
And if you've ever watched late night TV, it certainly gets
different.
Experimental.
It is definitely different from daytime TV.
Absolutely,
Steve. For sure. And the story here is he finds his parents' wedding video and records over it. This is very independent filmmaking, but I think that there's something there. I think that there's an interesting story to be told in VHS.
Well, this is interesting. Steve, this looks like a very strong week in movies.
Well, Okay, it's not the blockbuster Christmas season anymore. It is definitely January. January comes up with some interesting independent films, though.
All those films that didn't quite make it for Christmas.
That's right. Those. When's Orthodox Christmas? Is it coming up yet?
Book it.
Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have been driving around and you read a book. Well, was this an audio?
This is an audio book,
okay.
Steve.
Listening to a book.
Steve, Bill Gates talks to me at times mm-hmm. and suggests I should read a book.
And this is one of his suggestions. This is called Factfulness, 10 Reasons Why We're Wrong About the World and Why Things Are Better Than You Think. This is written by Hans Rosling. Hans Rosling, and is published in 2018. So tell me all about what we're wrong about.
Well,
everything.
First of all, Bill Gates said we should read this book.
And he's not wrong.
And so I will go ahead and say this, that if there's one book you read this year, this is the book you're going to want to read.
Really?
This is an important book.
Wow, that's a strong endorsement, Chip.
Now, I'm an economist at heart. I'm a trained economist. And this is a medical doctor who has released this. And this is a gentleman who actually goes all over the world and has worked very hard his entire life to try to eradicate maybe if there was some kind of, you know, I'm using a plague or something of that nature, would come Ebola or anything else that could come to an area. He has worked in many poorer areas, trying to bring medical services to the world.
Hmm.
Now, one of the things that he talks about is even educated people get information wrong. And we do not do better in understanding the world than a chimpanzee, basically guessing. So we all are guessing wrong about our information. Okay, so when we start looking at the world and how the world's doing, how things are getting better, we tend to underestimate how good things are getting. And that doesn't mean people aren't suffering and you don't know a neighbor who's going through hard times and people aren't getting sick. I'm talking about in general, the world is marginally getting better all the time, and there's plenty of facts to do it. Now, this is one of the things that, the reasons why this is happening. And that's because you were trained at some point in the past. Maybe you were trained 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 50 years ago. And the information you were presented at that time is kind of where your information is staying. And even if you're an expert in an area, that does not mean you're doing better at being able to guess how much better things are getting.
Hmm.
So poverty across the world has continued to drop. This is the great story of our century, the last 250 years, the American experience, which is basically going throughout the world. And that means that people are getting immunized, and babies are living, and families are getting better, and poverty is dropping. And this is incredibly important. And while we have plenty of challenges that we're dealing with, pollution, potentially what's going on with climate change and all these other types of things, you know, what we have to do with them are just basically help make decisions, but we cannot underestimate how much better they are. And we cannot throw areas that are slowly rising up to, say, the United States standard. We cannot force them to not rise up to our standard.
Hmm.
And by the way, our standards may not be the right standard for the world, but the deal is you cannot deny people in Africa and in Asia refrigerators, because refrigerators are good
mm-hmm.
for us. And you can't deny their ability to get travel and things of that nature, because travel is good for them like it's good for you. So this is an important book. And it really does. I left this thinking how I could solve it. And many of us went to universities. And if your university offered a weekend or a week where you could go back and they could refresh you on all the modern thoughts on ideas,
mm-hmm.
that maybe it's a good idea to do that. Maybe that is one of the things that you went to Bradley. Imagine Bradley inviting you back during the summer when, you know, there's no classes going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the ability to go for a weekend or 4 days. And they could say, oh, you remember all that stuff that we talked to you about that was so important at that time? It was the latest research. Well, we're thinking totally different about that today.
Hmm.
And because we're thinking totally differently about that, we need to refresh you on that current knowledge. And so I think the real messages of this is that if it's not your expertise, the people who are in that industry are probably better prepared to talk about those things. So what was good for you when you were a kid, or what was you learned when you were in college so many years ago? Listen, you know your industry better than most people do. Allow experts to work in their fields. And when they say something that's important, you probably should listen to it. I left this book really appreciating how much I know, with a new appreciation for all the things that I'm not, these are not my expertise. I need to stay in my wheelhouse as opposed to jumping into other wheelhouses.
I think the key is perspective. I talk about it all the time. What is the worst thing that's happening in your day? And is that worse or better than somebody else's life? What's the best thing that's happening in the United States? Is that worse or better than other nations? The perspective, the ability to look outside of your personal little bubble is what I think we're talking about with this book. The idea of comparing us and them. Are we doing the right things?
So areas that he mentions that are very good, it's very bad to talk about poor nations and rich nations.
Okay.
Because when you got to perspective on that, you would recognize how much the world is better off. What percentage of the population is immunized? What percentage of girls are going to school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is all improved on such a massive level. And you can say, well, we got so much farther. We may. But watching the news and getting some crisis moment,
mm-hmm.
like this is a crisis.
Right.
Listen, we had a snowstorm, and if you watch the Weather Channel, it may have been the worst snowstorm ever in the history of the world, because that's how they present it to you.
Because that's their job, is to be the beacon of warning. But in the actual event, it wasn't nearly as bad as it was suspected that it might have been.
I don't think it was anywhere near the worst storm ever.
No.
But you know, what can I say?
The perfect storm.
And this also works well with when you watch the news. And I don't care which filter you watch your news through. You know, crisis, you know, this side's wrong, this side's right. This is creating a way of you viewing the world. And to be factful, or use factfulness, mm-hmm. is it needs to be relative to what?
Yeah.
So if I said a term like 5 million babies died, you're like, oh, that's awful. And it is. Mm-hmm. It's awful. 5 million babies died.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it in perspective compared to a point in the past, it should be significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, they say, well, if one baby died, well, you cannot think that way if you're a medical doctor. Certainly it's a tragedy for that family, and it's a tragedy for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is you know, for when he was working in overseas, he had to, I think one of the statements that was, somebody, a medical doctor, a young medical doctor called him out because he went down back to go have dinner with his family and to basically rest up for the next day. And the young doctor said, how dare you do that? There are sick people here. They're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, we have to put it in perspective. Unless my family sees me, then I don't have a relationship to them.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I rest up, I can't be prepared for the next day.
Yeah.
And I can't work this. So, yes, I could work myself to the bone and die trying to help this. Or I can do something that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I can try to make many people's lives better.
Yeah.
So there's a world of information that you will get from this book. But the most important thing is you will get perspective, and you will, by the time that's over, accept what a blessing this day is,
mm-hmm.
this time is, and we live in the greatest time in history of the world, right now.
We and sometimes we don't see it. I don't know. Can we talk about Louis C.K. still? Is he still on the penalty box?
Well, I don't know. We can talk about whatever we want to,
do
Steve.
Remember,
it's our
podcast. Do you remember when Louis C.K. said, maybe we need a little bit of perspective. Maybe we need a couple of years of walking around on donkeys with pots banging into the back. Maybe we need to see how good things are. Everything is amazing, and we don't see it because it's normal to us.
Yes, and I think that's where the dystopian, utopian type of mm-hmm. stories come in also.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it was so much simpler in the past, or so much better in the past. No, it wasn't.
Right.
No, it wasn't.
And
because you know what happens when you don't have a lot of resources? You eat the same thing all the time.
Right.
And many of your homes are eating buffets because your son's eating macaroni and cheese. The other one is having a steak sandwich.
Uh-huh.
And you decide that you're going to order Chinese. And you know, your wife ends up making a chicken breast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what an amazing time
it's
we
amazing
live in.
Amazing time we live in. The air fryers that everybody got for Christmas, they can cook anything. That's just right. Want you to know that.
Anything.
It's all we've been doing. It's all we've been doing is cooking in the air fryer every day since Christmas. This is great. This is, again, back to the idea of the movie this week, which shows the difference between the older generation and the mm-hmm. younger generation, and how we can change and how we can look at what's important. This book goes to that.
Well, and it does. And if you want to look at it in government and things of that nature, you know, Thomas Jefferson wrote about that. He wrote the Declaration of Independence. They were part of putting together a Constitution, knowing that it would not last, that the Constitution had the ability to be amended and changed based upon the time. And also, you know, what can I say? We have less war
mm-hmm.
than going on than in times in the past. Now, we currently, over the last week or so, we've certainly had an escalation. It certainly feels like it's a panic. And while it's awful that's going on, the reality is still we have more peace now
mm-hmm.
than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we say?
And there's lots of things that are still wrong with the world. There's still things that we should and can change. But that list is minor compared to what we have changed.
Well, we've changed a whole bunch. It's not that there's not things to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to learn how to ask the right questions. And this is a thought process on what this generation, the young people, can study to make the world better for when we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And we complain about, well, it was so much better at some point in the past. And their kids go, are you out of your mind, Grandma and Grandpa?
Yeah.
And I really mean that because, Steve, when they took the space shuttle up, You know, the iPhone or the Android phone certainly has far more computing power than it had. And it's you can buy it. And not only can you buy it, many of your kids have those types of devices hooked up to them.
It's amazing. That is part of my curriculum. I tell my students this all the time. Every phone since the iPhone 5 has more computing power than the space shuttle. And they go, what's a space shuttle? I said, let me explain.
Back in the day, Steve,
when I was your age, the space shuttle used to take people up into space. Now it's hanging on the ceiling of the museum, and it's amazing to go look at the space shuttle hanging from the ceiling. Go and look at it.
So this is the most important book I have read probably in 10 years.
Wow.
And maybe the most important book I've read since I got out of college.
And this is from the perspective of a medical doctor who's writing this.
So economists have been writing about this for a long time and, you know, of course, being dismissed. But the world is good. Hmm. The world is, you know, most of us have access to clean water. Mm-hmm. Most of us have access to not just some little place, but actually you could be private if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Most of us have books to read, light that's available to us. And
entertainment.
You know, even as we go poor, as far as less resources, they still have more resources than they had in the past.
Absolutely.
And in addition to that, I mean, we've wiped out some of the, you know, through vaccination and things of that nature, we've wiped out many of the atrocities of the past. And it's just a matter of just recognizing, oh my goodness, yeah, we certainly can get better. And certainly there are areas that could be improved. There's always areas to be improved. But where we were to where we are now, it's magic.
There you go. That's Factfulness, 10 Reasons We're Wrong About the World and Why Things Are Better Than You Think by Hans Rosling.
Hans!
Scroll with it.
I really, really love science fiction. I deeply encourage everybody to go get your copy of my favorite book of 2019. It's called Recursion, written by Blake Crouch, and we are going to discuss it next week here on Too Much Scrolling. So get your copy, read along with us, and send us your ideas. Send us your thoughts about Recursion.
And I'm reading this now.
Uh-huh.
So Steve has already read this.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be all prepared to ask him questions.
And my memories of this book will certainly be strong because it's a book about memories and going back into your memories.
And this was Goodreads 2019 Science Fiction Book of the Year.
Correct.
So excellent choice, Mr. Steve.
It is. I really like it very much.
And if you do it in an Audible as opposed to reading it, so if you're going to go work out because you're still on all those New Year's resolutions
are still going. 2 weeks in? We're 2 weeks in? We're still on the New Year's resolutions?
Steve, wasn't your resolution to drink more beer?
Possibly. Something like that.
All right, so if you have three Audible books that you've read before when?
March 3rd. You still got plenty of time. If you listen to three full audiobooks on Audible.
They offer you a $20 credit.
For nothing.
Sure.
For nothing.
So you can get your copy through Audible if you choose to. Or you can buy a copy through Anderson's bookstore or one of the local bookstores.
There you go. Recursion by Blake Crouch. Go get it. Go listen to it. Send us a voicemail if you've got something great to remember about Recursion. I want to hear from you. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. If you need more information or you got something to tell us, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4 for TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Essenflood.
Hey, you remember his name.
Well, yeah, I've been back. I've only been back for a week.
Happy New Year! We'll see you in the future.